Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
It's good to be back from our visit to Japan. And we will be making a report, which you can find in the communique, probably in the next couple of weeks. But as I mentioned before I left, they have translated into Japanese the Project X, Search for the Secrets of Immortality. I will put a few of the volumes out in the vestibule after the service for you to look at. And the next book to be distributed is the Japanese version of Jamil, then the Prophecy of the End Times, and they are currently working on the translation for the Lost Gospel of Jesus. So we are making strides there, and again, the report will fill you in, which you can read in the communique in the next week or two. In addition, many of you know that we are actively working on making our school an online school, and that is a project which we will be working on for the next few months so that we have something to present to you and the public at convocation time. And several of you are involved in that project, and we'll be in touch with you in the next several days as to what your tasks will be to help us move that project along. Thirdly, the convocation letter will be going out also in the next week or two, and we are going to do some different things this year. We're going to mix it up a little bit. And the conference, the agenda for the conference will be a little bit different, and all those details will be in your packet when you get it. So I just wanted to update you briefly on some of the things that we are working on. And we will now have our reading, this being the first Saturday following Second Advent Pentecost. The reading is from the Book of God's Revelation, the seal of God's new law. On the 50th day following the final day of the giving of the revelation, the man and the companions of the way gathered at the south sanctuary to celebrate the divine service according to the liturgy of the church. It was Sunday, the 6th of June, the day of Pentecost. Following the breaking of bread together in peace and fellowship, the community turned toward the eastern horizon to greet the rising of the sun. A full moon set at the sun's coming. Looking upon the lesser light of the sun, the sacred company paid homage to the greater light of God, pouring as a breath to give life to their souls. Bells tolled at the rising of the earth's sun, and silent prayers were lifted to the Son of Heaven, as the gathering stood under the aurora created by the twin luminaries. When the divine service was completed, the man removed his vestments, and taking the great staff supporting the insignia of God's cross of enlightenment, he walked eastward towards the sun. He came to the base of the Temple Mount and scaled the precipitous height. Upon reaching the upper heights, he approached the great plateau drenched by the golden splendor of the sun. Mounds of dun-colored boulders, time-stained and wind-beaten, glistened under the vaulted blue sky. The man surmounted a craggy slope and reached the summit of the Temple Mount, overlooking the valleys below, and he sat down under a juniper tree to rest. The snow-covered peaks of the Sierra sparkled in the sun. To the north, the white crosses on the crests of the seven mounts of the seven churches of Revelation gleamed in the brightness. To the south and west, the lower mountain ranges were cast in deep purples and rich lavender. He chanced to look at his staff, which leaned against an ancient stone near the juniper tree where he rested, and remembered a vision of the sanctuary he had years before when he was with the child, a vision of a staff against a rock in a desert, the location of which he did not know. And he realized that God had brought him to the sanctuary. In that moment, the man heard the hooting of an owl, and songbirds filled the air. And he cast his eyes towards the light of the sun and looked at it for a long time. And he communed with the divine presence of God in the true light, by which the souls of men and women are brought to life and nurtured on truth. And his soul was fed on the light of truth, and he was refreshed of spirit. After a time, he looked down on the plain of the Temple Mount, and he was moved by God's work to take his word, to take his staff and walk. Walking about the outcroppings of monumental stones and groves of junipers, he descended to the plain. And the word of God spoke to his soul a second time, revealing unto him that the sanctuary was under the special blessing of God, and that he was to mark the sites where he communed with the image and the word. And the word of God proclaimed to the man's soul that the righteous ministry was ordained to go forth to the whole world, proclaiming God's advent and the freedom of the people from the tyranny of government. And God did reveal to him a proclamation of human spiritual rights that all governments were to acknowledge. The righteous ministers would be God's envoys, a nation in sanctuary under the protection and sovereignty of God. And the word of God revealed that the temple of uncut stones, made righteous as was the Son of the earth, was blessed of God. And in the temple restored, not by human hands, but by the hand of God, God would commune with the righteous ordained to his ministry. And the man saw a great cloud come over the sanctuary and the face of the sun. And he felt God's presence and his blessing over the sanctuary. And he looked at the sun grown brilliant by the clouds, its rays burning as fire. And he heard the word of God say, "Let none but the righteous in the way look upon the image I have made for a blessing over the land. This day a gift is bestowed upon the church of the second advent. The light of the sun in the eight appearances shall make wise the souls of the righteous, who will have understanding and knowledge of God. United they shall be in spirit, bonded together as one, and there shall be no diversity among them. The Spirit of God is poured down upon his people who hear God's word. Let the righteous seek out the temple and be anointed by God for an earthly mission to make righteous the peoples of the world." And from out of the cloud the man saw a heavenly city formed by shafts of light descending from the sun. And he saw that city hovering over the sanctuary and the temple mount. And the city of heaven and the temple of the sanctuary with its mounts were united by those shafts of light. And the shafts of light shone like blue pillars of sapphire reaching upwards into the sun. After a time, the invisible city that had appeared returned to heaven. But the light remained on the seven mounts in the likeness of thrones. And the man heard the word speaking to his soul, saying, "The heavenly city of light, made visible by God, shall be hidden to all but the companions of the way." And after the city had risen, he felt the presence of the light, and he saw the sun's response to the divine presence as great flares of light emitted from its surface. And again the word spoke, saying, "As the seven mounts of the temple have been sanctified by the presence and bound to heaven by cords of light, consecrate the mounts of the temple with holy oils for anointings of the righteous. Let the faithful ordained to the ministry of righteousness be bound to these rocks and to the sun by the anointings, as the soul and the spirit are united with God by the image and the word in light. God would that earthly temples be such as this temple, formed of stones uncut by human hands and joined with God by cords of light. For the city of God's presence will descend upon gathering places such as these. The true temple of God is the light of his image and of his word, and the true temple of man is the soul wherein dwells the image and the word." And we will now have the blessings.